Welcome and peace and blessings to you all. Come on in and close the door behind you. all I welcome and others can come in too, of course. All and others, that's right. All and a part of all that the others don't understand. All are. I'm Mike Cobbler. I am a late arrival to this week's teaching staff. This is why I have this one opportunity, but we'll have three opportunities to teach next week, and will be this Sunday's preacher at Eucharist. I serve as the interim pastor of Hilltop Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana, and am on the Grants Consultation Committee of the Valparaiso Project for the Education and Formation of People of Faith. Grant just gives me an opportunity with a number of grantees and colleagues here to say thank you to you for being such stalwart practitioners in terms of the faith practices, and also and the wonderful projects in which you have been involved. So thank you so much. Our joyous task right now, though, is to look at race and grace, affinities and alliances. And it is no secret to any of you that we live and it's intentional by some and those who intend to either make trouble or do harm, that we live in a racially charged society. My own sense of that is that keeps a lot of stupid and foolish things going on. That may help the few, but usually harm the many. So to that end, some of us are always seeking alternatives to the same old, and wouldn't you know it, alternatives can be found in Scripture of living well and living joyously and living in a way that God appreciates and that enriches our lives. So we're going to attend to that today, and I'm going to address two sources. One is, in fact, from Scripture, and another is from a writing by S.I. Hayakawa. Some of you may remember him as the senator from California who slept a lot in the Senate chambers, and probably for good reason, because there wasn't much going on. Amen. but his background is as a semanticist, and he has a piece that reflects that, that has to do with affinities and alliances for those in need. Now, there will be one opportunity, since there is, by my view, enough of you to do what needs to be done in terms of a conversation with one another related to the text that will be read in your hearing very shortly. So I would encourage anyone upstairs at the time of the discussion to come downstairs, so because you will be encouraged to have conversation in groups, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a little bit. The text that I want to address, first of all, is from Matthew 20. And the first time I actually want you to look at the text while I read it. I usually discourage that. Now, in congregations, when we have the reading of the word, folk are fumbling around with paper and wondering if the reader's going to make any mistakes and stuff like that. And then, when I am presiding at worship, I'll just shout out, "Use your ears, not your eyes!" And then folks say, "He's so insistent about stuff like that. Should we keep him?" But in this case, I encourage your reading along. It will be read a second time, but with some instructions that will follow. So the text that I have is the New Revised Standard Version text. I read from Matthew 20, verse 1 and following. Jesus said to his disciples, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again, about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Holy wisdom, holy word. Okay, now having done that, I want you to count off from 1 to 5 going that way and then across.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1. Okie dokie. Now, you are to gather in these groups, but you don't have to right away. Let me tell you your assignment. The ones are those who worked in the vineyard at the beginning of the day. All right? All right, the ones Y'all got hired first. All right, number twos got hired in the middle of the day. Okay, you know, when the sun was at its height, you know. Number twos got hired in the middle of the day. Number threes got hired at 5 o'clock, 1 hour before work ceased. Number fours are the steward. All right, number fours, you are the stewards, and Michael, you are included in the number fours. They will tell you who they are. Number fives own the land. You're the owner of the vineyard. You know, another way to say it, number four is, of course, the manager. All right, everybody understand which role they have? Cool. Now, close your Bibles. When you have conversation with one another, I will read this text again. When you have conversation with one another, it will be in the context in which you stand. No, you ain't at Holden Village. You are yourself, but you are those workers, the manager, or the land owner. And what you simply need to have conversation about is how are you going to talk about your circumstance to the others. Oku doku. Mm-hmm. Everybody understand? I know silence does not mean assent. Does everybody understand?
Yes. Yes.
Hot dog. All right. All right. Hear it again. This time, all ears. Jesus said to his disciples, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.' Discuss among yourselves." Well, get into your groups and then discuss among yourselves. How do you want to talk to one another about this? And how do you feel about the group you're in?
Fours?
Fours?
No.
You'll have 10 minutes.
How do we present the ones?
They're the unjust. They may have agreed to it. They have the usual debt to pay.
No, you can use it. You may look at the text.
if there's help.
And then what's interesting is that we're not around.
Just the fact that I specify
It doesn't seem as though the owner provides a lot of space for managing matters. It seems that the question was asked, the manager is kind of eliminated. So yeah. It doesn't go seem as though we have a lot of things to kind of do that many years.
Because I think of city in Seattle, I went through this. There's three people who are dating, which go basically.
Three more minutes, folks.
Wait, what happens? Because a lot of times you're I like the idea of taking examples, you know, so they are that jealous.
Contextually, how this stands and what I know about it, I'm not going to try to argue for that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so there's no rational.
Right,
exactly. And that was what I appreciated very much in the conversation, that it's just not using a rational thing. Well, that's an argument. Because I was over. Think that there's some rationality. When it comes to humans.
Yeah. Sounds like good conversations going on. So, two more minutes. We'll give you two more minutes.
I mean, because I think it's one of those. It's one of those things that we've categorized as irrational, that in the way we live life, sort of inexplicably, my living in generosity with you creates something in the environment that I benefit from.
I don't know that should just be your choice.
I think that within the human living environment, even though we've categorized generosity as something irrational, as far as the counting, my generosity to my environment ends up benefiting me. And so, in a whole variety of levels, whether it's directly later by somebody turning that sense or indirectly through all sorts of emotional or spiritual.
I don't know, that is so me personally, I would feel very comfortable
Maybe sometimes I do, maybe other times I don't.
I guess
Okay, look, let's wrap up and regather.
I think that you encapsulated the generosity. Justice isn't enough.
Like I said, I love this phrase.
Right.
Burn it, Antonio. All right, appreciate the conversations, and the Storks are still figuring out what to do here, so they're into it. The managers are managing, yes. All righty. Let's we'll give each group an opportunity to say what's on their mind. All right, and we'll go in numerical order. Number ones, let's hear what you have to say.
About St. Thomas.
Well, I think in the end, we kind of floated in and around a certain position, but I think in the end, and feel free, of course, to disagree with me once, but I think in the end we thought that as ones, we were the only people dealt with justly.
Mm-hmm.
The others were dealt with, the other laborers, you know, in generosity or generously. And mm-hmm. And while we'll accept it, we're a little frustrated.
Okay.
Justice. Only justice? Right. Everyone else gets generosity and mercy.
Justice isn't enough.
Justice isn't enough.
Or as it says in Apocalypse Now, justice is dead. Or is that in Bob and Tom's Tom and Bob's Excellent Invention or
Let's get out of the Hollywood illusions.
Any other word from any of the other ones? Justice is not enough. But they're not crazy about it. Mm.
Justice is, maybe justice is livable. Maybe we can live with justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Justice, you know, doesn't fill all of our needs for, you know, value and spirit and wholeness, or but justice will get by with justice.
Okay. Justice will do. Okay. All right, thank you, ones. All right, twos.
Well, we feel a little caught in between. We're afraid of what the ones might say to us, and we're afraid of what the threes might say to us, and we're confused by this master's way of running things. He doesn't run things like the other folks we've worked for, and we want to talk to him a little bit more about why he does it this way.
Okay. So twos want to have a conversation with the owner.
And we would be, if, you know, because we feel we cut into it, if we hear other people complain, we want to join with them in their understanding of how this is confusing, but we're not there to take care of it, but we're there to be with them, to go to the master and ask the master, you know, what they need to do this. This is upside down.
Okay. So there's some hope for not only conversation with the master, but possible conversation with others to see what's on their hearts and minds in light of your own dilemma. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty.
Did you have something?
All right, threes. Oh, yes. Anything else?
Out from the tubes.
The other thing felt like, you know, we were just found and looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not maybe expect to get the job. And when the manager came, he said, we must, I mean, go and labor with others, and I will give you the...
What is right.
What is right.
So we never negotiated the amount.
Yeah.
Ah, so we, okay.
So means we not really deserve what time we start, but we agreed on what was said by the master.
Mm-hmm.
Master.
Mm-hmm.
He said, give us the right.
So the manager set the price, and you were simply glad to work.
Just glad to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, that's all. All right. All right, twos, thank you. All right, threes.
We had a lot of mixed feelings about things. I guess initially very glad to finally be able to find work because we felt like we'd often been passed over and unseen, invisible. And so finally somebody noticed us and gave us work, and so we were incredibly grateful. But then at the same time, we were a bit frustrated with, we were grateful towards the master, but also frustrated because we felt like he was almost manipulating us and playing off of one another and using his power and wealth in very strange ways that potentially could set us workers against each other. Mm. And where we need to have worker solidarity, we're coming into conflict now, and we feel very self-conscious and almost a little guilty, about the way that we've been paid and they've been working so much longer than the rest of us, and so we know that this isn't really fair, but yet we do need that money for our families. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of mixed feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other things?
Yeah, well, I didn't particularly feel guilty because I wanted the money and I needed the money.
Hey. Guilt is guilt.
We didn't negotiate. I mean, he hired us and we went. And so I sort of had this whole sort of powerless thing because, like, you know, he hired us, he paid us, you know, and so mm-hmm. we might be getting some grief from these other two folks in mm-hmm. terms of workers, but we didn't decide how much we'd get paid.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
There's also the question of what's going to happen tomorrow when we go out and wait for work.
Tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What's going to happen tomorrow?
Yes. I was feeling anger, you know, and I, you know, that's a whole day of making myself available, being looked past,
mm-hmm.
you know, able-bodied, ready to go. And today worked out fine, but I'm not sure how tomorrow will go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were really a mix of.
Do you think you'll be branded as there goes a 5 o'clocker slacker?
That's my big fear, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, huh. Anything else from the number threes?
Nope.
Thank you. Alrighty, managers, fours.
Well, I'm probably going to argue a little bit with the landowner. You want me to do what? You know, because the only thing I do in this is I go hand out the money. So
yep.
am the one that's going to, people are going to look and look at me and say, you've got the beginning. So I'm going to get the brunt initially of people's either anger or surprise or whatever it happens to be. And so before I go out and do that, I'm probably going to argue a little bit with the landowner about, you know, you think this is good for business? How am I going to get anybody to go to work tomorrow morning when they could all show up at 5?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to try and help that landowner think a little bit more, you know, complexly. And then when I'm doing it, I think I would have a dilemma about trying to explain the landowner that I'm dependent on too, in a way that might help people understand this landowner as a generous person, that's, or whether I'm gonna just say, you know, I just hand out the money, that's all I do. Mm-hmm. You know, and because it ends either with the landowner meddling and bypassing me and explaining things, or the fact that maybe I've just stepped out of the way and said, you know, go talk to him. So I don't know.
Does anybody want to talk to, from 1 through 3, want to talk to the manager?
No, we just feel like the middleman.
Okay. And manager, do you want to say anything to the landowner now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, first, internally, I'm kind of surprised at listening to the workers. I thought that there would be more dissension and anger among them. I thought the first group would be more unhappy. I would not have expected them to call it justice what happened. It didn't sound, to me, it didn't seem just as a manager. But hey, they're accepting it. So that's what we report to.
Well, to you, it sounds like just us started working at the beginning of the day. Just us just did work for 12 hours. Just us got the head to negotiate the pay.
Yeah.
Just us. Yeah, it sounds like didn't mind all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool.
Well, we're not into that. What's
it going to show up at 5 o'clock tomorrow?
You're questioning, right, so you're questioning his generosity or her generosity, not the justice. That's how I heard, especially John, talking about it. So to the landowner, we're going to talk now?
Yeah. What do you want to say to the landowner?
I think what Diane is saying is that... Now, how do you expect to keep on staying in business if we operate this way? It's been hard times for us to get people to work, and besides, the people that we hired at the beginning of the day, that's all we really needed to do the job. We didn't need to hire the other two groups of people. So now, you know, our balances are going to be off, and we've just perhaps set up an expectation that they don't have to come to start work at the beginning of the day. How are you expecting to keep this going?
And I think, can I add a question to that? I also wonder about the strategy of inviting the folks who came last to talk to them first, and maybe we could bring everybody together at once to talk about this, because it seems like we're just going to cause more confusion and perhaps anger if we don't have everybody together to kind of process what's happening instead of just handing it out as we want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And instead of the landowner and the managers trying to figure it out, they need to ask the people that are doing the work that are the recipients of theirs in order for them to get it.
Now, before we proceed, let's hear from the landowners. Landowners?
We had a nice talk. Well, we thought that we were taking everyone that was there at the time, but they don't sound like... Especially the three sounded like they thought that they were being passed over all day, so that won't work for us anymore. But we discussed that the landowner was fair because she brought up that the manager or the landowner was giving out what they needed for the day, like give us today our daily bread, giving to everyone what he or she thought they needed for the day, and that everyone deserved that. Like the same? Is that what we were thinking?
Mm-hmm. We budgeted a certain amount and we, mm-hmm. We took who was there at the beginning, and then we came back and there were some more people that had shown up to work, and we had budgeted for this amount of people, and we got as many as we needed, and so they each got what, so now they could go and buy food tomorrow for their families. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sort of, I'm not sure we know why we why we gave money away the way we did.
The first last thing we were like, that's pretty much just gonna cause. We thought it was more of just to really set an example. Mm-hmm. And then when we said that, then we were like, well, now we have to remember it's a parable. Mm-hmm. Then we had some good discussion on that. I don't know if that counts.
So. What helped break it open was going back to the very beginning where it says, the kingdom of heaven is like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You give us this day our daily bread. Mm-hmm. Those who come to faith early in life lead the Christian walk, lead a good life by God's principles, and God loves them very much. And those who come to faith later in life, God loves very much and has loved them their whole life as well. And it's not categorized as the length of time, but God's love is very benevolent. So it's about God's abundance.
A wonderful concept. And I think some folks still want to talk about money, though. Number two?
Yeah, I want to share that, take this, because this was just a problem, and when we take it and deep, interpretation, we are all, God's people. And we are here on earth, everybody is on their own. And what we are expected to do is just to believe in God. We are directed that in order to be a good Christian, to be obedient to God, you must be doing this and this and this and this. But mm-hmm. according to my own understanding, this must not be our guarantee that, yes, I have done this. I do this. I know maybe this time I will be the first one because I was right. I helped this. I did this to this who needed what. So I know this is maybe the big issue here that being in the world, this might not our guarantee or feel it to ourselves that I have lived the just life, in justice. But you have to give up to God. You are only here by grace, not by good works, if you got the faith and good works. Because this is to do with faith and good works, if I'm not mistaken. So, understanding that being in the world, you have to do what is right to God. But you must not, understand it by your own that, yes, I'm going to be saved. This is not your own judgment. This is not your own choice that I have done this and this. What you have to do is to do what you are expected to do, and wait what your God, what God your Creator will do to you. That's why how I understand this.
Yeah. Thank you indeed. We have generated some precious discussion around this text, and I appreciate your centering on what you felt and reflections on what you felt in reference to the various roles that you have played. So thank you. Give yourselves a hand. now what I want to lift up, we have been addressing some of these areas already, but let me lift up three things in reference to this text, and then we'll have a brief discussion of how this, in fact, can serve as a parable related to race. One of the precious things that happens in the text after the money is distributed is, of course, as it is described in the text, the grumbling. And is of much value in terms of unpacking the text to pay close attention to that. These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them, you, talk to the landowner, have made them equal to us. What happens in that phrase?
There's a separation.
Mm-hmm. There's a separation for sure. There is, of course, the aspect of comparison, which...
They're depersonalized.
Depersonalized. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. Well, let me ask the question. Are they talking about money?
No.
Ha 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 ha! Not at all. That's right. You have made them equal to us. In fact, saying to the landowner, how dare you put them on the same level? Money is understood as the great equalizer, but they're not talking about money. They have said, you have made them equal to us. How dare you? You can think about that in terms of race, and then it starts frying our noodles. But yes, God has made them equal to us, whoever them is. Huh? But like I said, we can unpack that. Another piece about the text is, of course, the response of the landowner. Friend, as it starts out, it connotes a salutary relationship even in the face of the anger and comparison. Friend, I am doing you no wrong. And it's interesting. And it is desire of the master for those who have received sustenance to carry on. Take what belongs to you and go. It's not a get out of here. It is, don't let the fact that all others are equal to you hang you up. Proceed with your life. And of course, it has been hinted that the ideal circumstance is that we proceed with our life together. That instead of concentrating on comparisons, we start concentrating on alliances and affinities. And then, of course, we come to the aspect that was lifted up early on in terms of the generosity of God. Or are you envious because I am generous? You know what the strict translation of the Greek on that is? Some Bibles will have it in the bottom of the text. The strict Greek translation of that, strict translation of Greek, I should say, is your eye evil because I am good? Ooh. Are you giving, is the master being given the evil eye? Simply because of the master's goodness. We have, I know, in a lot of congregations that stand in the tradition of the African American church, not it's interesting, not all congregations that stand in the tradition of the African American church are African American churches. And not all those churches have simply African Americans in them. There are churches where folks say, God is good, and folk respond,
all the time.
All the time. All the time.
God is good.
So God is calling us to an appreciation and appropriation of God's generosity that does not include an evil eye. That we not be envious of God's goodness. How might this be a parable? Now, lifting up all that and all that you have shared, how might this be a parable in relationship to race? The $64 question.
Well, I'm thinking a lot of affirmative action kind of things as well, and like bitterness towards affirmative action programs.
Mm-hmm.
As I was thinking about this in terms of race, I also started thinking about it in terms of gender as well.
Yes.
And since that's a subject I'm much more familiar with, mm-hmm. it started to draw more connections, and then I could think about it much more in terms of race as well. And so then, almost, I'm losing it. Anybody else have something to say?
One thing that reading the story through the lens of race helps me to ask is, was there a history of injustice in the conditions under which they were hired? I mean, was there injustice that kept some people from being there at the beginning of the day? Because the guy who's mad at the end of the story assumes that it was an even playing field.
Right, right.
But it may well be that the people who came late in the day came late because they were working some other job, came late because they had to stay up all night doing something else, or were constrained from coming.
Right. And in fact, it seems that the only clue that the text gives us in that regard, when the question is asked, why are you standing here? You know, why aren't you working, so to speak? The answer is because no one has hired us. Simply, it seems to be simply a context of circumstance. The text points to a context of circumstance. We simply haven't been hired. You know what stands in the back of our heads in terms of those who we perceive as Johnny or Jane come latelys. Oh, they were not blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, you can imagine it. Oh, they should have been blah, blah, blah. The text seems to point to a reality that says, circumstantial. They may have been there, they may not have been there, but in any case, they were not hired. So I think that puts the whole question of race in a more salutary context, not in as damning a context as people would like to put it. And of course, then once again is the aspect of the generosity of God. And it's in one sense saying, if God is generous to me, That's enough. I hope God is generous to others. And then the task becomes seeing that God's generosity is in fact manifested in the lives of others, which can certainly apply to race, gender, and a whole host of circumstances. 5 minutes to Vespers. Ouch. looks like I've run out of time. the Hayakawa piece. It's great fun, but it's kind of more the same. So he thinks that the thing now is to address any final questions or comments that you may have, and then it's off to Vespers.
The people who are hired first, I see very much as white privilege. Mm-hmm. Of course we have a job. Of course we have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others are often overlooked. That's what came clear to me as we worked through this.
One of the great contributions to conversations around race is what Robert Terry said. I think I had opportunity to say it to maybe Jonathan at some point. Being white in America is not having to think about it. Mm-hmm. So when one thinks about it, that is precious, and thinks about it in ways in relationship to others, not simply in comparison to others, which is, we find, a dangerous way to think, but in relationship to others, and saying, how might this privilege be leveraged so that the generosity of God can in fact be felt by all, or be felt by others beyond myself. I thank you for this chance to gather and to